Church, it's a blessing to be with you.
Thank you very much for all that you do. Thank you for the way you not only sang out this morning, but have just been such encouragements to so many around you. And just being here, also being a part, an active part of our congregation. Thanks to those who were in Bible class this morning. A lot of great things going on. Third straight week, we've had over 200 in Bible class, and it's just really, really an encouragement to our teachers and to us as elders, to myself. We're so thankful for this congregation, and today is going to be it's already been a great day, and it's going to be great even after we leave here when we're dismissed, because we're going to get to go back and celebrate Taylor and Katie and baby Shepherd, and it's just going to be a beautiful scene. Again, just we see God through all of that, and so I'm excited about everything that's going on. Earlier, Justin mentioned to you that there is Leaders of Light is going to be starting up, and then also Azalea City Christian School Grandparents Day food sign-up. We talked about those things. Well, there are sign-up sheets there in the side foyer, so Taylor wanted me to let you know that if you can sign those up, if you're going to participate in all before you leave here today. I am thankful for all that you guys do. You know, when I think of the Azalea City Church of Christ, I think of it being just a rock-solid place, a place where love abounds, a place where friendliness and encouragement and truth and the opportunity to reach out to others, the opportunity to welcome those in who are maybe not like the rest of us, you know. And you know, Cody's talked to us on Wednesday night in his class. I want to give a plug for that. He's talking about being able to work to be involved and how we can help involvement and help encouraging and things. And he talked about friction points. What are some things that people walk in here that they may not be able to, they may not be comfortable, what keeps people from coming and being a part? And, you know, one of those friction points is some people may not think that, hey, I don't look like them, I don't have the money of them, whatever. And so you guys tear those barriers down, and I'm glad of that. You welcome people with open arms. And so when I think of the Azalea City Church of Christ, I think of it being an anchor. Well, today, I want us to think in our own lives about our true anchor. That anchor is Jesus Christ, but through that anchor, we have hope. Hope is something that is very valuable to us as Christians today. You wouldn't have known this, but Sergey, if you'll go ahead and change the slide, I want you to see this slide here, and I want you to think about Jesus, who is He's our anchor, but He's also our lighthouse. Could you imagine being a sailor out in the middle of some ocean somewhere and a storm comes up? You're in the middle of the open sea and the waves are strong and the rain is coming down, the lightning is crashing in through the water, and it's all around you darkness. And even though you're a skilled sailor and you know what you're doing, you're still anxious. There's still some fear. There's still some apprehension. Do you know if this boat's going to make it? If this ship's going to make it? Are you going to be able to protect this crew? The boat is being tossed around and it's dipping into the water and it's just a really, really bad scene because panic has now gathered all around you. And in this panic, all those who are on the ship are trying to do, they're trying to find something to hold on to. But they lose their grip because the next wave throws them across the way. And so they search for something else to grab on. And there's no way you can put an anchor out. See, that anchor, if you could just lock down and hold and ride that storm out, that would be one thing. But there's no way to do that. But then all of a sudden, through the darkness, through the clouds, you see a beam of light coming through. And that light, you realize, is a lighthouse. And that lighthouse is letting you know, hey, this is where safety is. You can come here. You can dock here. You can make it if you can get to the light. And then all of a sudden, that sailor, the captain of that ship, he starts to realize everything's going to be okay. If we can just ride through this storm, I know where safety is. You see, that is who Jesus is to us. All around us are storms, right? I mean, in some of those storms, they're huge. They're throwing us from one side to the other, even though we're trying to hold on. Those storms of life, it might be, hey, you got a bad report from the doctor, or, you know, it may be somebody betrayed you and stabbed you in the back, as we say, or there's some type of disappointment. There's disappointment in families. There's disappointment in others. All these things can pile on top of us. But if we will remember, when we can anchor down, let's anchor down. But if we can't anchor down, let's get to the light. You see, that's who Jesus is. His promises do not waver. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event that has ever taken place. Because the resurrection, first of all, the miraculous way that God raised God, it couldn't be duplicated, right? And Jesus raised up from the grave to walk and to be with the Father again, to appear to others again, to give them hope, to give them proof, and to give us hope, and to give us proof. His resurrection is what allows us to anchor in hope, to anchor down. Like that sailor, we can't control the storms. Jesus told us that there are going to be storms. There are going to be trials. And listen, some... I'm not there yet, brother. Sorry. I'll tell you when we get to number one. Those storms, those trials, we can't control them. And some of the trials and storms that you're going through are unbelievable. You know, nobody would ever want to trade their storm for others that are going through devastation right now. But I want to promise us all, we can anchor down in the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our lighthouse. Jesus is our anchor. See, that anchor that we have is that hope. That hope that hopefully today is unshakable. No matter what Satan tries to throw or what the world tries to throw, and remember, good and perfect gifts come from above, and that means everything else doesn't come from God. If it's bad, if it's imperfect, if it's sin, if it's cursed, if it's disease, all that came through sin. Jesus brought hope. Jesus overcame sin. And because of that, today, we can anchor down. And so I want to talk about it. I invite you to join me in 1 Peter chapter 1 as we look at, number one, the source of our hope. The source of our hope today, as we've already stated, is Jesus Christ and His resurrection. His resurrection is what allows us to be able to be who we are, to walk in the ways that we're walking, to be a part of God's forever family, to make sure that we can cast our burdens on Him. All those things come because we have hope. And we have that hope, our source of it, is the resurrection of Jesus. Listen to 1 Peter 1. Read along with me now. 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you hear it? We're praising God today, right? That's why we are here, to worship Him, to sing these songs of praise. We're praising God today because through His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter begins this section of this letter by allowing us to see and to know that we have a living hope. Think about that. It's not a, I hope that today is a good day. And it's okay to want that, right? The desire to have a good day. Not to, I hope that, you know, I'm going to have a job or whatever. Yeah, those things are important. This hope is different. This hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is different. It is alive. It's living. In other words, today, we know that temporal things will die, right? Temporal things will die. The day will end. The job will end one way or the other, right? Those temporal hopes will end, but this one will not. The only time it will end is when it becomes reality, when we're with Him on high. But as long as we have breath in our bodies, no matter what day it is, no matter if I've retired or I'm still working or I'm in school or I'm married or I'm single or wherever I am, there are temporal things that we hope for that will end, but not the hope that we have for eternity through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not a hope based on wishful thinking. In fact, it's a spirited, active hope rooted in reality. And what is that reality? That Jesus had victory over the grave. He had victory over death. Eve, if you eat of the fruit, you will not surely die. In other words, how crazy does that sound, Eve? I mean, you're not going to, it's not going to kill you. Touch it. Fingers didn't tingle. No electricity going through your body. Your body, your heart's still beating. Eve, you're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to be like Him. Well, Adam lived to be 930 years old. But guess what? He died. And through Adam, death entered this world. But through Jesus Christ, hope entered the world. Adam brought forth sin. Jesus, the second Adam, brought forth victory. Adam brought forth death. Jesus, the second Adam, brought forth life. Adam brought forth disappointment. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, brought forth hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the bedrock, if you will, of our hope. It reminds us that death is not the end. That our lives are not dictated by circumstances that we're going to face here on earth. It reminds us that we have a hope, a future beyond this world. In 1 Peter 1:4, Peter reminds us that this hope is an inheritance, but listen to it, that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That's stability. That's eternal stability. See, right now, some of us are walking on very shaky ground. Some of us are walking on ground that you don't know if you're going to be able to make it to the next step. On this earth, I cannot promise you hope. Listen, we can hope all day for a good day, but I can't promise you it's going to be a good day. I can hope that you're going to have a great day tomorrow at school and a great day tomorrow at work, but I can't promise you those things. But what I can promise you this is one day we'll cash all this in for a place where there is no more pain. There is no more hurt. There is no more shaky ground. It's all solid, and it's all with God above. And that's the hope we cling to today. That's the hope that's the lighthouse through the storm. That's the hope that we can anchor down in today. In a world where wealth can be lost, health can be taken, security can be shattered, the inheritance we have in Christ remains rock solid. It'll never fade if we don't allow it to. Because this hope is imperishable. It's undefiled. And it's undefeated. Satan can't beat it. Satan can't go there. Satan can't win. And so we will be able to cash all the things that Satan has control of in this world in one day for a place that he can never get into. Peter also says in verse 5 that we're guarded. This is encouragement to us. He says, being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Doesn't it feel good to know that God's power is protecting us today? What's the worst thing that could happen? Somebody could take our life? I mean, reality is, on this earth, the worst thing that could happen is we could have our lives ultimately taken from us, but really it's the best thing. Because we're protected by the reality of heaven. We're that because Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, we too can rise from the grave. You see, this hope that we have today is not fragile. It's not fleeting. It's guarded by the omnipotent God, who has promised to preserve it until that day of salvation. Which leads us to number two. Because of the hope of Jesus Christ, we have stability. See, Christ is the cornerstone. Look at 1 Peter 2:6. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Peter is quoting from Isaiah 28:16 here. He's using that reference to emphasize what? The fact that Jesus is that stone that was rejected by the builders. But God has made Him the chief cornerstone. Now, we talked a lot about this year because our theme comes straight from here, that we are those living stones connected to that chief cornerstone. So just as a way to remind us, a cornerstone is the foundation upon which everything else is built. They laid that stone first because it would be the solid portion and everything would be built around it. It was the most important stone in the building. Because whatever winds blew, whatever came against it, it would ensure stability and everything would align just right. That's what Christ is to our faith. He's stability. And if we will anchor our faith in Christ, we'll be aligned. It's not hard. The Christian life is not hard. In fact, it's such a blessing. Once I surrender it all and I anchor to the foundation, the chief cornerstone, and He gives me that stability, He also aligns me with His will, what He wants for my life. And as long as I want what He wants for me, and I'm willing to walk in those ways, then bring it on, Satan. Whatever you throw at us, it's not going to penetrate. It's not going to get through. It's not going to affect us because Jesus Christ, who I'm connected to, is stable. He's unmovable. And on Him, we will stand. But you know, just like Isaiah prophesied, and we know became reality in the life of Jesus, there are a lot of people that will reject it. I don't know why. Once we taste it, why would we reject it, right? I do like desserts. I try not to eat them a lot. But I do like sugar. Sugar is whatever it does to food is absolutely amazing. You take even a cup of coffee, and I know a lot of here drink coffee with nothing in it, but it is disgusting. When you drink coffee with nothing in it, it's disgusting. You put a little sugar in that, now you got something. Calories, that's right. And probably bigger waistlines. But here's the point. Once you taste it, though, it's hard to put it away. Listen, look at America. Okay? We're the most overweight country. You know why? Because people have tasted it. And it's hard to get rid of it. But you know, something far sweeter than sugar is the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Why would people taste it and then throw it away? I don't know. I wish I had the answer to it. We have 401 on roll. I'd have 401 in here today if I had the answer to it. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know it is a reality that people taste Jesus, they get Jesus in their life, and they anchor down in Him, and then all of a sudden they just let it go. Now, there are 300 people in here today, and I don't want any of you to let Him go. In fact, we are here to strengthen our grip. Isaiah prophesied that people would reject Him. We saw it happen through Scripture that people rejected Him. People are still rejecting Him today. But let's all resolve today to not let that happen to us. If you have never, and I'm not ready to close just yet, but if you have never anchored down in Jesus Christ, today is the day. But if you have anchored down in Him, keep strengthening your grip on that, hope. Allow the cornerstone of His life to be the cornerstone of your faith. Let's make a resolution that we will not let go. First Peter 2:4. Peter reminds us, as you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Peter said, people will reject Him, but in the sight of God, He's precious, and guess what? He is alive. Jesus, the chief cornerstone, is that living stone that we as stones can connect to in return be living stones for Jesus Christ. We sing it, right? We call it the Church of Christ National Anthem. What is it, 23 in these books? Used to be 728B in the other. Our God, He is alive. He's not dead. He's not fable. He's not story. He is alive. He is real. He is reigning. And we can anchor down in Him. What a blessing that is. That leads us to our last point today. Because of that, we have assurance of our hope. Watch this. Assurance of our hope. There we go. We have assurance of our hope. Because He is the anchor of our soul. Listen to the Hebrew writer. Hebrews 6:19. We read this earlier. Logan read it to us earlier. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. My mind it just sometimes wanders with the best of them. And when I was studying this, I went down a rabbit hole. One thing, we know about Uzzah, right? Y'all remember Uzzah? They were supposed to lead the ark a certain way. Well, Uzzah thought he was going to do something good. It really wasn't Uzzah's ultimate fault. He just had to learn the lesson. The Levites weren't leading. It was just a bad deal that David was doing. the Ark of the Covenant starts shaking on this cart. He just goes to stabilize it, and well, he dies. So we know when you didn't do things God's way, you died. Do you know if you, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies? You remember how the tabernacle was set up, right? You had the outer courts. That's where they would come and make the sacrifice. Then you had the holy place. Inside there, you had like the table of showbread and the lampstand and all those things. And then you had a curtain, right? You remember that from your Bible study? You had this curtain, and behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the high priest would tell them all the time, don't go back there. But you know there was somebody that wanted to go back there. I mean, this is where my mind wanders. We don't have it in Scripture. I'm amazed that we don't have somebody in Scripture who said, I'm sneaking in there and going back there, and then they got zapped, you know? But my mind was like, how did nobody do that? You know, it's never recorded, to my knowledge, where somebody just said, I'm going to go see what the Ark of the Covenant looks like behind there, and then that was the end of their life, because they weren't the high priest. But you got to know, even though we don't have anything like that, there were people that said, what's behind the curtain? The old Monty Hall show, right? You know, what's behind door number one or door number two? Let me tell you something about the beauty of what Jesus did. He tore down the curtain. If you wondered what was behind the curtain, now you can know. Behind the curtain is hope. Behind the curtain is foundation. Behind the curtain is resurrection. Behind the curtain is life. Behind the curtain is eternity with God. Hope is not something that we have to wonder what it is anymore. It's not this abstract or distant reality, and we're sitting out in the courtyard and thinking, a kid is out there thinking, I need to know what that Ark of the Covenant looks like. I need to know what this heaven looks like. I need to know what this hope looks like. It's not any of that, because Jesus Christ tore down the wall of separation. Just like an anchor will keep a ship from drifting away in the stormy sea, the hope we anchor down in Jesus Christ is going to keep us grounded in the middle of this life of chaos that we all live. Behind that curtain was access to God. That's why only the high priest could enter it. Because there was the Ark of the Covenant, but then there was the presence of God. And so that wall, that curtain, separated the high priest, God, and the people. But Jesus, who is our high priest, He tore it all down. So that even as Gentiles, we have access to God. Today, we do not have to hope we make it to heaven. Listen, there's a difference between anchoring in the hope of heaven and hoping you go to heaven. I've asked people before, you know where you're going? You know, I mean, it's just come up and kind of just walk up to people. That's just an odd conversation starter. But in conversation, I said, man, do you know where you're going? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Why would you do that? Why today would you leave here hoping you're going to heaven? Instead of hoping you're going to heaven, anchor in the hope of heaven. Anchor in Jesus Christ. Jesus tore the curtain down so we have access. Today we can stand firm through that assurance of hope, because we're not alone. God is with us. Through Jesus, He's guiding us. And He's helping us through all these storms. So what do we need to do? Let me give you these and the lesson will be yours. Number one, cling to the anchor of hope. As we face these storms of life, we got to get our grip tighter on Jesus Christ. That means we're going to continually stay in the truth of the gospel. Isn't that what it's about? The gospel message, the gospel life. that resurrection of Jesus Christ, those promises we have of eternal life, and that unshakable foundation as He is our cornerstone. Don't allow culture, don't allow the world, don't allow circumstances to make you taste it and spit it out. Today, let's stand firm in the hope that we have in Christ. Number two, not only should we cling to the anchor of hope, but we got to live as people of hope. If you have a grip on salvation today, live like it. That means today, don't walk around like you just ate a bad onion sandwich. You know, walk around like you've got some joy in your life. We are Christians saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can anchor in that hope. Let's live like it. Listen, worship doesn't end when the Amen prayer ends. We're going to walk out these doors eventually, and people are going to see. And you know what He called us to be? The light of the world. Not the sour person who just left the church service where the preacher went too long. Maybe. Live as people of hope. And it's not just a hope of the future, it's a hope that transforms the way we live. Anchor, live. In a world of instability, we've been given an anchor that will never fail. Christ is our cornerstone, that solid foundation of our hope, which is the anchor of our soul. No matter what storms have come, again, I know there are some in here who are still in the midst of a bitter storm. But no matter what storms come, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can stand firm with Him, knowing that our hope will be secure, eternal, and unshakable. May we live each day with the assurance that we are anchored in that hope, standing firm in the One who holds on to us. And you know what we're promised in Scripture? As long as we hold on to God, nothing can snatch us out of His hand. So if you're here today, and Jesus is not your cornerstone, I invite you to come, to walk this aisle, to confess that you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Here's what God will do. He will contact you with the blood of Jesus. He will wash your sins away. He will remember them no more. And He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He will add you to the kingdom which is His church. If you are here today, and somewhere along the way, you've tasted Jesus Christ, but then you decided to let Him go. Today, do not leave here with doubt. Leave here with hope. Come forward. Make it right. Grab a hold. And let's anchor down together and ride this ship to heaven together. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.